How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons.
Here you are in a pretty messy place. Why do you do it?
Because this is my passion, and I believe this is what God is calling me to do. That was me, 25 years ago. I was one of those little boys with no hope.
All we talk about with faith is how different we are. Mine's good, yours bad, mine says this, yours says that. And in truth, in their basic cores, if practiced correctly, a lot of faiths are pretty similar. They believe in something a little bigger than themselves and being good to other people.
Luther said, to take no pleasure in assertions is not the mark of a Christian heart. Indeed, one must delight in assertions to be a Christian at all. Take away assertion and you take away Christianity.
Moms in Ohio love issues, etc.
St. Peter himself says, of us, and it's pretty remarkable language. If you take it seriously, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart for God's own possession. And he's talking about you, and he's talking about me, and he's talking about every believer in Christ. So, if we are this royal nation, this kingdom of priests, as he says, then what do we need pastors for if we're a kingdom of priests? A lot of people will pit the priesthood of all believers or the priesthood of all the baptized against the office of the ministry. No intent to do that here for the next hour with Pastor Bill Swirla, but to understand how it is that there is a kingdom of priests and there is Christ's office, and the two are not at odds with one another in any way whatsoever. We're coming to you live this Thursday, April the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about priesthood and ministry. Pastor Bill Swirla will be our guest for this entire hour. You can join us as well with any question or comment you might have about priesthood and ministry. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. We get those emails in real time. talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet @issuesetc or leave your questions or comments on priesthood and ministry for Pastor Bill Swirla at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. He's author of a chapter in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Lutheran Difference. His chapter is titled Priesthood and Ministry. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd.
If we are, as the Apostle Peter says we are, a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood, and he speaks there quite clearly about every Christian. If we're a priesthood of all believers, what do we need pastors for?
I ask myself that question sometimes. That's a great question, and it shouldn't. I think when that question comes up, it shouldn't be heard in a malicious sense to begin with. I think it's a very logical and straightforward question. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:9 first, okay? Just because that's the chief verse for this. Peter says, and by all appearances, 1 Peter is a letter, perhaps a sermon, to some newly baptized Christians. He talks in 1 Peter 2, they're newborn babies, and he speaks of their baptism and how they have become living stones grafted into a spiritual house, a spiritual temple, to be a holy priesthood, 1 Peter 2:5, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Right away, that tells you what the priesthood of the New Testament is about. It is a holy priesthood that offers spiritual sacrifices to God, and they are acceptable to God because of the sacrifice, capital S, of the high priest, Jesus Christ, who offered himself for us. And then he goes on in 2:9 saying that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. He calls them four things. And you notice they're four collective things. I want to really emphasize that. We are not priests in isolation, but as the sainted Dr. Corby used to say all the time, priests have a hood. We are priests in a priesthood. It's a collective thing. It's a unified thing. A race, a priesthood, a nation, a people. These are all different facets of the same thing. We are New Testament Israel. We are Israel of the end times. We are the Israel living in the fulfillment. And as such, we are that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. No different than what our Lord himself said, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. And so every baptized Christian is a priest in the royal priesthood. That is the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ, who is the high priest. We're not priests unto ourselves, but we are priests in a priesthood. In fact, priesthood is another way of saying church, just as chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's treasured possession. His, in Hebrew is his segula. And by the way, that passage, 1 Peter 2:9, directly out of Exodus. It's exactly what God said to Israel after they crossed through the baptismal Red Sea and were born as a nation. They were a priestly nation, a kingdom of priests, he said. They also had a priesthood in terms of, you know, those who served in the temple, but those served as priests among priests. They were a priestly nation. They had a priesthood, and that is they were uniquely set apart from all the other nations to be the bearer of the promised seed, to be the one to deliver the Messiah in the fullness of time. And so you know, they had this priesthood on behalf of the world. So that's the context. We got to get that straight, you know, first in front, you know, right up front, is that it's baptismal. It's what it, and you know, go back to the Old Testament. How did you become a priest?
You were born into it.
Luther mentions this in his 1523 writing to the Senate at Prague, where they're wringing their hands trying to figure out how to honestly get pastors because they can't get the bishops to ordain them without having to lie to them first. Long story, I won't go into it. But Luther makes this really cogent little aphorism in the middle of this letter. He says, priests are born and ministers are made through call and ordination. So he's got both in the same sense. A priest is born. You're born in the Old Testament. You were of the tribe of Levi, of the son of Aaron. And that's what made you a priest. You're born into the right family. In the New Testament, you are born into this priesthood through the regeneration of baptism, through the new birth of baptism. You are born and anointed a priest. But as Luther says, ministers are made. That is, ministers are those chosen amongst priests and given the vocation to occupy the office of the holy ministry. And so it's the difference, I would say. And so we're going to look at two things, priest and minister, right? Because that was your initial question, is, hey, if we're all priests, what do we need ministers for? That's like saying we all have apples, what do we need oranges for? It's two totally different things. Priest and priesthood is your dignity before God. It's eternal. We are forever priests before God because Christ is the eternal high priest. And so that never goes away. When we rise, we will rise as priests to God, as the Revelation, you know, indicates. I mean, that's the big thing of the people of God. They are kings and priests. So that's an eternal dignity and status before God. Minister is a vocation and office and authority and responsibility entrusted to some of the priesthood to take care of Christ's church, to deliver the gifts of Christ to his church, to see to it that the priests are well fed and cared for, that they may engage in their priesthood. See, so one is an office, and the other is a dignity or a status that you are born into by baptism. If you get that straight, then you don't even ask the question.
The term that has come down to us and has been adopted by many confessions of faith, priesthood of all believers, if I'm not mistaken, if we wanted to be picky about it, probably should be, on the basis of what you've said so far here from Peter's passages there, the priesthood of the baptized. Why is that an important thing? Not to pit a belief against baptism, but to make it more particular to how it is priests are born.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with what you said here. You know, our forefather in the Missouri Synod, C.F.W. Walther, his favorite term was spiritual priesthood, geistliche Priestertum. Now, that could be a little spooky because Spener the Pietist, that was his favorite term too, but we needn't go down that path because 1 Peter talks about these priests offer spiritual sacrifices. That is a spiritual priesthood, which means that it's a different kind of a priesthood than the old Levitical priesthood of the old covenant. And we're operating under a new covenant here. But this priesthood of all believers, I think, is a really poor term, because what's the emphasis? Believing. How do you know you're a priest? I'm a believer. What's the focus on my faith? Really bad. Royal priesthood I like because it embraces both king and priest, which is, you know, who's the king and who's the priest around here? It's Christ. And we, by virtue of being baptized into him, by our baptismal union with him, is we share in that royalty and that priesthood. So it has to do with the believer's baptismal union with Christ, and not with our vocation, not in the way we are gifted or in the way that God has ordered things, whether in the family or civil society or in the church. You know, that's something temporal. It's of this life. It's something that God has ordained for our blessing and our benefit, and it's given to some and not all. But priesthood, this kind of priesthood in the New Testament, this royal priesthood, this spiritual priesthood, this is bestowed on all. And the same, women are priests. This was unheard of in the Old Testament.
We'll pick up right there with Pastor Bill Swirla talking about priesthood and ministry on this Thursday afternoon, April the 14th. Your questions and comments, 1-877-623-MYIE. Or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC.
Cardinal baseball is in full swing. The St. Clair County Transit District and the Redbird Express provide service to all Cardinal home games. Buses leave from St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Illinois, near the water tower. The first bus leaves 2.5 hours before game time, with service every 10 minutes. The last bus leaves 40 minutes prior to the game. The last bus will return from the stadium 25 minutes after the official end of the game. Round-trip fares are $5 for adults, $2 for children ages 5 to 12, and children under 5 ride free. All buses are wheelchair lift equipped and load and unload at the corner of 7th and Clark, right outside of Gate 4 at Busch Stadium. So give yourself a break from traffic and parking hassles and take a ride on the Redbird Express to the next Cardinals home game. Call 618-628-8090 or log on to scctd.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
I got the keys to the kingdom. The world can't do me no harm. I got the keys to the kingdom.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. We're talking about priesthood and ministry on this Thursday afternoon, April the 14th. I want you to explain something you said right before the break. I know you are master of dropping the bomb here, Bill, but talking about women being priests, of course, we both are members of a Confession of Faith, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that is somewhat notorious in American Christianity denominations for being one of the last holdouts on not ordaining women to the pastoral ministry. We are so backward and so strange, I say tongue in cheek. And yet, I want you to rightly explain how it is that, in especially given the distinction that we're talking about here, we can refer to all of our sisters in Christ as priests in the same way we ought to refer to our brothers in Christ as priests.
Well, let me just note at the outset that I love to drop the bomb only because I'm always in competition for quote of the week. So, you know, whatever it takes. Secondly, when we speak baptismally, see, if your focus is on baptism, you get it. Because the boys and the girls are baptized the same, huh? In the Old Testament, it wasn't so. The sign of the covenant was circumcision, and only the boys got in on that, and the girls kind of ran piggyback with, dad and husband and older brother. But in the New Testament, all are baptized alike. And that's your Galatians 3:27, that in Christ they're neither male nor female. In fact, all distinctions are obliterated in Christ. But that's baptismally speaking, and it refers to your status before God, and it refers to your inheritance of eternal life and your place in the kingdom. It has nothing whatsoever to do with your vocation in this life and the giftedness of being male and female. You know, I think last time I checked, we don't say that, mothers should also be fathers, and fathers should also be mothers. I know there's a little confusion going on there, but we have this notion that there are, different gifts pertinent to the sexes and abilities and everything else. And the same holds true here with respect to the church. I can't adequately explain in rational terms why the Lord sees fit and why the inspired apostle insists that only men hold pastoral authority, but that is the case in the New Testament. So it's not an equal opportunity office. There's lots of speculation going around, but it's Lent, and I've given up speculation for Lent, so I'm not going to be doing that today. But, suffice it to say that there's enough clear passages and a long Catholic tradition, small c, universal tradition, of not authorizing, not placing women into this particular office. That is, the office that was traditionally called episcopus or presbyteros, which we call pastor. See, one of the problems, Todd, is terminology. When we hear priest, we suddenly, everybody, no matter, they could be the furthest out, Protestant there is, they automatically think pastor. Everybody suddenly becomes Roman Catholic, and they think priest, they think pastor. Whereas in the New Testament, that's precisely not what that term means. It means one who offers sacrifices to God. Romans 12, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable God. That's your priesthood. And when we think, see, minister, that's the other thing. In the Bible, minister is just general servant, deacon. But for us, see, minister, that means the one who holds the office of the holy ministry. That is the one who has these specific authorities and responsibilities to be the voice of Christ, to administer the gifts of Christ to his church. So it's that kind of a distinction. So we should not think of priest in terms of minister. That's really to confuse the whole thing. And I think the confusion arises from traditional vocabulary. Even our confessions occasionally slip and use the term priest when they're really talking about pastor, because that's the way you talk. That's the way they talk in the Western tradition.
I remember sitting in a seminary class with Dr. Norman Nagel, and I think the class was, it's hard to tell what any of his classes were really all about.
Jesus.
Yeah, but I think the class was titled Office of the Ministry, something along those lines. It's nice that pastors, when they graduate from the seminary, at least understand what office it is that they are entering into.
Yeah, you ought to know what you're getting into. That's true.
So I remember him drawing three trees on the blackboard, and one of them had the trunk was the priesthood of all believers, and the branches were office of the ministry. The other one was the trunk was office of the ministry, and the branches were priesthood of all believers. And he said these are two false teachings about the relationship of these two things. The priesthood of all believers no more grows out of the office of the ministry than does the office of ministry grow out of the priesthood of all believers, although candidates for the office of ministry come from the priesthood. He drew a third tree, and the trunk of that tree was Christ.
I told you it was always about Jesus.
Yes, and it had two branches, office of the ministry and priesthood of all the baptized.
Right.
And he said both of these things, in their own particular way, are derived from Christ, not from one another, and their relationship to one another is in and through Christ himself. Now, I know you're familiar enough with our dear friend Dr. Nagel to explain what he meant.
Well, I'd never had privilege of seeing that drawing, but I did sit in or actually take that course a couple of times throughout my seminary time as for my MDiv and also for graduate work. So, and that's very consistent. Yeah, it's a mistake to derive one from the other, whichever direction you go, and that is that the ministry is not a derivative of the priesthood of all believers or the royal priesthood. You can't find any scripture that connects the two that way. And you know, I think at the outset we kind of explained why. They are literally two different things. One is an eternal status before God. The other is an office and vocation, before men. I'm a pastor, you're a pastor. When we die, that's the end of the show here. That's it. You know, we're not pastors anymore. Thanks be to God. I mean, do we really want this going on for an eternity? You know, this responsibility, it's fine. I'm happy to do it in this life, but that's it. Priest that we are forever. See, and it's similarly wrong to start with the ministry and say that the priesthood of believers derives from that, so that every Christian is like a little minister in his own little sphere or something like that. That's missing the point entirely too. Is that the priests of God, the royal priesthood, each have their vocations, their callings next to their neighbor. They have gifts and abilities. They are granted offices and authorities. There's father, there's mother, there's servant, there's employer, there's pastor, there's people, there's governor. There are those he governs or she governs. You know, and so, and these things are distributed according to God's infinite will and wisdom. For our blessing and our preservation and this sort of thing, but Dr. Nagel, you know, has it exactly correct here that they are distinct, priesthood and ministry, or priesthood and office. Priesthood is not an office in the New Testament. Priesthood is you're born into it. This is who you are. It's an identity. Priest to God. You know, we should file that because people draw their identity from the strangest things these days. Have you noticed this? That from their work, yes, who are you? I'm a lawyer. I'm a pastor. No, that's what I do. Who I am is priest to God, priest to the Most High God. And that's my identity. And how do I know that's my identity? I'm baptized. God told me I'm baptized. He anointed me. Priests are anointed. Baptism is your anointing into the priesthood. And yet their organic connection, their connection is in Christ. So, you know, the ministry is Christ's hands, his mouth, his presence before the church. That's why we have a ministry, so that the sacraments might be administered to the priestly people of God. Otherwise, their sacrifices are not going to be holy and acceptable. You know, we got to be in on the sacrifice, the one atoning sacrifice. And the priesthood is you know, what God in Christ makes his people to be. That is a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a people set apart, his own treasured possession.
We've got about a minute and a half before our next break, Bill. What is the relationship of our priesthood, our baptized priesthood, to the great high priesthood that Christ alone exercises as the maker and the offerer of the ultimate sacrifice for our dead?
The book of Hebrews revels in this. you know, because it's really in large part about this high priesthood of Christ. As the Old Testament high priesthood, the Levitical son of Aaron, who uniquely was permitted to enter the most holy place with the blood of the sacrifice. So Christ, you know, the ultimate, final, the true, the one to whom it all pointed, appears ever before the Father with the blood of his sacrifice, you know, in the true Holy of Holies, the eternal highest heavens at the right hand of God, and he continually makes intercession for us, and he continually pleads the blood of his sacrifice over and against our sins. And we, baptized into him, are beneficiaries of that. See, so we tag along. we've been hitched up to his locomotive here. And so, just as all the priests followed the high priest, and that, so we are in that train of priests who are the beneficiaries of his high priesthood and his priestly sacrifice.
Pastor Bill Swirley is our guest. 25 more minutes with him on Priesthood and Ministry on this Thursday afternoon, April the 14th, right after this.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
What does God's Word teach about prayer, the Holy Spirit, baptism, angels and demons, the Lord's Supper, creation, marriage and family, predestination, and the end times? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Lutheran Difference. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Lutheran Difference by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, The Lutheran Difference.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
A pro-life superstar.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In a recent interview with Rolling Stone magazine, the teenage pop star Justin Bieber was asked his opinion on a number of American political issues. When asked about abortion, Bieber replied, "I really don't believe in abortion. It's like killing a baby." When asked about pregnancies resulting from rape, Bieber said such situations are really sad, but do not justify abortion. With so many wrong messages coming out of the music industry these days, it is refreshing to see a star take a strong stand on life, especially one who appeals to millions of impressionable young girls.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. We're talking about priesthood and ministry on this Thursday afternoon. Pastor Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, author of a chapter in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Lutheran Difference. His chapter is titled Priesthood and Ministry. He's also co-host of the weekly internet program The God Whispers. You can find out more about The God Whispers under the Listen On Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Bill, what do priests, the kind of priests that we have been made by the new birth of baptism, what do such priests do?
Well, I think Romans 12 is a really good fleshing out of that, or job description, if you will. You know, Romans 1 to 11 is basically the doctrinal side of the epistle, laying out this thesis of justification by grace through faith. But Romans 12 kind of spins out of that then and basically says, in view of all this, you know, by the mercies of God, offer yourselves, your bodies, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. And this is your depending on how you translate it, this is your spiritual worship. This is your worship as a priest, is to offer up your bodies as living sacrifices. That's what priests do. Priests offer sacrifices. Now, we know that there is no sacrifice that we as priests can offer that can atone for our sins. You know, Augsburg in Apology 24, very clear on this. There is no sacrificial priesthood that can offer atoning sacrifices in the New Testament, because the one atoning sacrifice for all sin has been made by the high priest Jesus Christ on the cross. And so what we are offering are thank offerings, Eucharistic sacrifices, that is, you know, offerings of thanksgiving. And Romans 12 kind of fleshes out what that means. In fact, if you kind of look down the contours of Romans 12, utilizing gifts in various kinds of service to, you know, to whom these gifts are given, whether, you know, in preaching and service and exhortation, in genuine love, in blessing others, especially those who persecute us, you know, in Romans 13, in being obedient to the government, praying for those, giving honor and respect to those in authority, in the home, that is, in being fathers and mothers, and husbands and wives, and treating those under us with kindness and respect, and being obedient to our own masters. This is, in a word, vocation. This is the Lutheran doctrine of vocation. Is priests live in the world to offer sacrifices. That is, they take the things of creation and they offer them up in thanksgiving to God. And so the baker, as a Christian, a baptized Christian, he offers up that flour, that yeast, that water, that dough, as a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. Similarly, the mother, in caring for her child and nursing her child and nurturing her child, she's offering up, you know, herself, her body, as a living sacrifice in thanksgiving to God. And so also the pastor in his vocation, writing a sermon, teaching a Bible class. But this is the Lutheran doctrine of vocation in action.
Okay. Maybe a good question that will lead us into the next part of our conversation comes from Stan in Pierce City, Missouri. And he observes what I think many have observed. So much is called ministry anymore. What exactly constitutes ministry? We've talked about the priesthood of the baptized. And nowadays, you're right, Stan, just about everything and anything, especially if it's even remotely associated with the church, is called a ministry. It's a term that we meticulously avoid here at Issues, etc. We prefer the term outreach because that's a better description of what we do, because what we do here is definitely not the ministry. How do we make the distinction, Bill?
See, here's the problem again. It's terminology, and I may not have been terribly clear the last segment when we talked about this. When we talk about priest, you know, everybody thinks pastor, when really the Bible is speaking of baptized believer. When we think minister, we tend to think pastor again, the trend these days is everybody has a ministry. Well, ironically, that term diakonia in the scriptures, it just simply means service. So it's kind of true. Everybody does have a service. Everybody does have a vocation. The problem, though, is in our Western Christian tradition, the term minister tends to be reserved for pastor. We think pastor. We're always thinking pastor. I think that's part of the problem. And so we think the only person who serves God is the pastor. and therefore, everybody wants to be a pastor, because how else can you serve God? See, there's the problem. But minister, in other countries and cultures, they're not so spooky about this. You know, in government, you have, you know, the Minister of Defense in some countries, right? The Minister of Finance. These are servants. This is their service. This is what they're about doing, And what's happened today now is the term has gotten diluted to the point where it kind of means whatever you want it to mean, and it means kind of everything at all. So, you know, but what I'm saying is that the term starts out as a very general term. Just any act of service is a ministry. However, we tend to hear it in religious terms. We tend to hear it in churchly terms. When we're speaking of the office of the holy ministry, and that's where the specificity comes in, the office of the holy ministry, we are talking about the authority to forgive sins in the name of Christ and the authority to distribute the sacraments, to administer the sacraments, that is, to minister them out to the people on behalf of Christ, or as we say in the liturgy, in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the office of the holy ministry.
So if to just be clear on our nomenclature here, if by ministry we simply mean what maybe would probably sound more familiar in European ears, what you do by way of service to your neighbor, then we could say, well, yes, in that sense, in that simple sense, then everyone has a ministry or a service. But if we mean ministry as an office of the holy ministry, can we say everyone a minister?
See, that's precisely the thing. You know, and there's a book out a while ago, Oscar Feucht wrote it, Everyone a Minister. Bad title. Should have been Everyone a Servant, because that's what minister is, servant. So say it like it is. Everyone is a servant. Or everyone a priest, you could say that, but of course everybody would misunderstand that because we all suddenly become Roman Catholic and we think, you know, everybody, you know, the guy in the funny dress in the front. But you know, biblically, every baptized believer is a priest. Biblically, every baptized believer is a servant. That's right. But not everybody is a minister in the technical, narrow sense of that term, namely holding the office of the holy ministry. Just as in the state, everybody is a citizen, but not everybody is the president. You know, one holds that office.
This comes from Alan in Illinois, Bill. He says, when it comes to the relationship between the royal priesthood and the office of the holy ministry, it seems there's always wars and rumors of wars. What would you say to a young man considering a future in the office, that is the office of the ministry, who observes the tension between the two? How can the church reduce and eliminate that apparent tension?
There's a lot to that question. What do you say to a young man? I mean, if you know, he who desires the office of overseer, episcopus, desires a noble task. Who's to discourage that? I mean, if you feel you have the gifts and if you feel that, you know, if you sense that God wants you to study for it, don't go around saying God's called me into the office of the holy ministry, you know, because he hasn't. But maybe he just wants you to study for a while so you can be a more knowledgeable, you know, layman in church or something. I don't know, but that's certainly a noble thing not to be discouraged. If he's talking to you, if you feel that he actually has the gifts and the aptitudes for it, how to reduce the tension between the two? Clean up the language for one thing. When you say minister, be very clear about what you mean by that. And commonly, we don't use that term minister except in some sort of religious technical sense. And so maybe we should be talking about service and servanthood and servants and things like that. And I think we also need to clean up priest and priesthood too and reclaim that. A priest is who I am. Priest, I can't make the sentence out of this. That's our identity, though. We are priests. And that does not mean ministers in the sense of holding the office of the holy ministry. And that's also in nomenclature, too. I think we have to get back to that specificity. I hear too often in our churches that God ordained holy ministry, or he calls some into holy ministry, or ministry. But it's the office of the holy ministry. It's not a way of life. It's an office. And an office means it has authority and it has responsibility, just like the office of the president or the office of mayor has authority and it has responsibility. And so we got to keep that straight. The pastor is no higher Christian than any other Christian. And the pastor is no more holy than any other priest in the royal priesthood of Christ. He simply has an office that entails authority and responsibility that he is accountable to God and the church to execute.
Pastor Bill Swirly is our guest. We're talking about priesthood and ministry. When we come back 10 more minutes with him, it's Thursday afternoon, April the 14th. I invite your questions and comments. 1-877-623-MYIE. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. We'll be right back with Pastor Bill Swirla.
You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program? Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic? The Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
We're talking about priesthood and ministry with Pastor Bill Swirla, pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, author of a chapter in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Lutheran Difference. His chapter's titled Priesthood and Ministry. He also co-hosts the weekly internet show, The God Whispers. This book, The Lutheran Difference, it's a great topical study, and it's kind of brief studies on each one of the topics it treats. It is organized, and I think this is ingenious, although not original. It is organized around the three articles of the Christian Creed. That would be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And under each one of those headings, it treats various topics of theology, expressing the Lutheran difference, making comparisons and contrasts and explanations with other confessions of faith. If you want to know what it means to be a Lutheran, if you already are, or what it is that Lutherans believe vis-a-vis other Christian confessions of faith, this is the book for you. It's called The Lutheran Difference. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Lutheran Difference, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Carrie in Minnesota asks the question, Bill, are we all disciples, too? If we're all priests, are we all disciples?
I love this question, I really appreciate her bringing that up because I think you have an exact analogy here. And the quick answer, in case I don't get to it, is yes. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is a learner, one who sits under his or her teacher. And so to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus is to learn from him, to take his yoke upon you, and to follow him. An apostle, however, is one who is sent to represent another with, get this now, authority and responsibility. And it was an office, the office of apostle. Now, in the Gospels, see, Jesus had many disciples, more than 12, but he had the 12 apostles. So not all disciples are apostles, but all apostles are disciples. And I think you have an exact analogy there, disciple, apostle, priest, pastor, slash minister. Minister in the sense of pastor, okay? I'll say pastor so we don't get confused. So as the disciple is to the apostle, so priest is to pastor. That is, all pastors are priests, that is, baptized members of Christ's royal priesthood, but not all priests are pastors. Just as Israel was a nation of priests, and yet they had a high priest, so they were a nation of priests, but not everybody was a priest in the ministerial sense, that is, those who ministered in the temple either. And that, but yes, we are all disciples as followers of Jesus. We are made disciples by baptizing and by teaching, Matthew 28. And so the same baptism that makes us priests is the baptism that makes us disciples. It's another way of looking at that relationship that we have to be in Christ. But not all disciples were apostles. Not all disciples are pastors.
I got a question from Jason in Cedar Park, Texas, in just a minute, but one quick question on that. You said before, and you were, I think, quoting Luther, that a priest are born, pastors or ministers are made. Just as a priest doesn't give birth to himself, can a pastor make himself? Is there such a thing as a self-made pastor?
Well, the nature, and I like to get, this has been a great, hour of terminology, office. You do not bestow office upon yourself unless you're some kind of tyrannical, weird dictator, in which case it's questionable whether you actually hold an office. and it's the nature of authority. An office is authority and responsibility. That is, you have responsibilities and you have the authority to execute them. But the nature of authority, especially from that word, it is permitted. Authority is not about power, it's about permission. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. See, authority is granted by one to another. Not even Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, claims authority in himself. He didn't grant himself this authority, but the Father authorized him. He has received all authority in heaven and on earth, and with that authority, then he authorizes his apostles. So to answer your question, no, you can't authorize yourself. It's contrary to the whole notion of authority. Authority must be granted you from outside yourself, extra nos. It must be given you by another.
Jason in Cedar Park, Texas says, okay, so the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod and the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod have various ministerial offices. Back to more of our confusion. He says, in the LCMS, there are pastor, music minister, deaconess, etc. Likewise, in the Wells, there are pastor, teacher, staff, minister, etc. I think I understand what makes one part of the priesthood. What makes a minister? And is everyone also in the ministry? The Wells would seem to paint with a pretty broad brush here by including teachers, whereas the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod seems to back off a bit. And then he says, as a P.S., thought you might find this interesting, I've often been tempted, says Jason, to apply to the Fort Wayne Seminary Deaconess Program to see if I'd qualify for admission. Maybe I'm not called to be a pastor, but specific ministry like a deacon would be. First, to reiterate, what makes a minister? That is, what makes a pastor?
Well, a pastor is a pastor. First of all, that's not inherent in the person. Whereas priest is, that's what you are. a pastor is an office that you hold. And what makes a pastor is holding the office of the holy ministry. And what that office entails is the authority granted you outside yourself to execute the gospel, to minister the gospel in all its forms to the church. That is, to preach the gospel, to absolve sins, to administer the sacraments. We call it the office of the keys. That is, to execute the authority of the keys. which basically, you know, open and shut heaven by the power of Jesus' death and resurrection. It is the authority to speak and act in the stead and by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. And it's the authority of his servant to address. Here's a cool way of saying it. The bridegroom authorizes his servants to talk to his bride. You are permitted to speak to the bride on his behalf. So it's an office. An office is not personal. It doesn't inhere in the person. If you are removed from office, you cease to be a pastor. If you quit your office because you just can't take it anymore, you know, you can't take one more meeting, you're no longer a pastor. When President Obama is done with his terms in office, however long he's going to serve, he will be a former president, as our former presidents are. We may still call him president because he once was, but he is not in that office any longer. I think we understand office much better in the state than we do in church. If we look to the state, we'd kind of get it. You know, the guy's elected in November, but he doesn't take office until he is inaugurated. And if he tries to act like a president before November 20th or whenever it is, we say, not yet. You're not president yet. Same with call and ordination and this kind of thing. You're selected, you have a place, but God puts you into that office and you are authorized to execute the authority of the keys that God has entrusted to his church.
Finally then, Bill, with about a minute, why is it important to make this distinction between the office of the ministry, and to be exact, the office of the holy ministry and the priesthood of all the baptized? Why does the church need both?
Beautiful question, because the question could be answered by the law or the gospel. Let me choose by the law would be because the Lord said so. It's his church, he can do whatever he wants, right? But the gospel is so that we may know for certain that we are forgiven and free. You know, what do you always talk about when it comes to the gospel? Extra nous, outside of ourselves. If the ministry of Christ, and that is, you know, his sacraments and the preaching of his word, come because we all got together and decided Bob's going to preach one Sunday, and then I'm going to, or we'll just sit around in a circle and wait till somebody gets the spiritual hiccups, and then you know, says something edifying to us. That is entirely within ourselves, and it's looking entirely within ourselves. But the gospel is always outside of ourselves. So God appoints men to fill an office where Christ can speak to his bride, the church, where the high priest can address his priesthood, and they can know for certain that they are the forgiven, free people, or in Peter's terms, that they are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's treasured possession. And so, God wishes his voice, Christ wishes his voice to be heard, and he wishes his body and blood to be distributed. And he wishes, you know, that baptism be administered, and he sees to it that it be done. And it's not at our initiative. He takes the initiative. He creates the office, and through the church, he fills it.
Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, author of a chapter in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Lutheran Difference. His chapter is titled Priesthood and Ministry. He co-hosts the weekly internet radio program, The God Whispers. Bill, thank you very much for being our guest.
A pleasure to be with you again, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Brent Kuhlman about God, the great gift giver, giving even himself completely and wholly. We'll also discuss Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand with Dr. Clay Jones of Biola University. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.